Now, over and over again since this show has started, myself and the team, as well as listeners, have lamented and sometimes even laughed about the sex education we got in school. It was little or none, and we're all still, you know, processing that. Well, it's all about to change in September. So I thought I better find out a little bit about what is going on. And one woman who knows her stuff is Dr. Siobhan O'Higgins, a sexologist and educator from the School of Psychology at the University of Galway. Siobhan, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
It's great to have you. Great to have you. Now, tell me, what changes are coming to Irish schools in the new RSE curriculum?
Well, basically, they're updating it based on the needs. They did, NCCA did an amazing sort of needs analysis. They talked to young people, they talked to parents, they talked to teachers, right? And they're very aware of also the laws have changed and the context in which young people are exploring their sexuality is very different from when, definitely from when I was young and possibly from when you were young as well and from when their parents were young. So it's about incorporating all of those differences to give young people the information they need so that they can actually explore their sexuality in physically and emotionally safe ways. Because basically, I know a lot of people are scared about talking about sex or sexuality and all these kind of things with their children. But what we all want for our children is that they grow up and eventually that they have great sex lives and make us grandparents. That's what we all want.
Oh, that's what we want. That's what we want. I just want them to know where it goes and what happens and what are the consequences.
Yeah, but also the whole thing about pleasure and enjoyment and intimacy and how do you form positive relationships and how do you maintain them, what do you do if they break down. But it's not just about the face-to-face stuff now. It's all online. So you have to...
And that's changed in 10 years. Not even when I... Like, that's changed, you know, just
and
so
it keeps
recently.
Changing. It keeps changing. So it's about keeping up to date. So the NCCA... update is slowly but surely updating the curriculum to meet some of those information needs based on their analysis of what young people, teachers and parents said they needed. And then they took all of that stuff and they said, OK, this is what we've got. They expert groups to create, bring in resources. How can you talk about difficult things like gender identity? How can you talk about sexual consent? How can you talk about sexual media? It's not just pornography now. Sex is everywhere. Sex has always sold everything.
Yeah.
But now sex is everywhere. It's in songs. It's in social media. They're bombarded with stuff. And how do they deal with all of that? How do you express yourself as being a man, woman or anyone in between?
So will teachers be trained on how to approach sensitive topics like gender identity with students and that kind of thing?
Well, hopefully, yes. I mean, there are training programs already in place. I know I was talking to one teacher who's been, luckily, one of 30 teachers, RSE teachers, SBH teachers who are doing a course to update them. A lot of SBHD teachers already would be very aware of the issues that are there for their young people because they know their young people, right? And they're meeting them every day. They're hearing all the stuff in the corridors. They're listening to their concerns. And so they do pretty good research to find out, okay, what resources out there that we can use? So there are a lot of great teachers out there using resources. And now
already. Which isn't really, you know, not necessarily part of their job. So they're going above and beyond. We just need to mention that as well because teachers get an awful time sometimes. Can we talk about pornography? Because it is so widespread these days. Pornography. Let's just talk about that. You know, few people would be surprised. You know, will it be part of the syllabus? Is it going to be spoken about in depth? How is the approach to pornography?
Well, it's going to be talked about because it's everywhere. I mean, sex is everywhere, as I say, and it's not just about pornography. Young people don't just go to dedicated porn sites like Pornhub, like what old people do. Maybe that's where their parents go. But, you know, they're experiencing all sorts of sexual media or through social media outlets that they're engaging with, right? So it's about giving them critical media literacy skills. So the program I work on, which is the Active Consent program, have created a Sex on Our Screens critical media literacy program that is available to teachers now after a bit of training, and they can roll that out. So it's about creating up-to-date resources that stay up-to-date, because the problem is things move so fast that you have to keep updating. So in terms of pornography, a lot of young people would have used pornography to give them the lessons to find out how to be sexual, because no one wants to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's really important. You know, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to put it? How long am I supposed to leave it there? Really? Have I got to do that? Oh no, and not laugh, you know, and all of that. So it's dodgy. You know, you're a child and then you'll become becoming an adult, what do you do? How do you express yourself? Mm-hmm. And you've got to like this stuff? Ugh, horrible. You know, so let's talk about it in real ways. Let's talk about what it actually is like to feel that you want to be intimate with someone else, you know, and how do you approach that? And what is it that you have to do? Because a lot of pornography, obviously, is unreal. It's misogynistic. It's violent. It's all about penetration, which isn't what young people need to know now. It's how to be intimate, how to form that lovely, you know, just to hold someone's hand, you can feel the tingle, you know, to go back to those basics instead of them rushing straight in. I've got to put it there. I've got to keep it there. And then amazing. I have to withdraw it somehow.
Yeah. How does that all work?
My God. How's that going to happen?
Can we talk about consent then? You mentioned it there. Consent classes have been a little bit controversial in colleges. How will younger students learn about consent?
Well, you see, young people know about consent anyway. They just agree and negotiate things all the time. What if you don't want to play football? You say, well, I don't want to play football today. No, maybe tomorrow. No, I'm not really feeling it today. You know, and they know that they're not rejecting their mate. They're just rejecting what they want to do with them. It's a very subtle but important difference. So back to what we do in the Active Consent Programme, we have created consent workshops based on data. So the way we work is we like the NCC8, we ask young people, parents and teachers, what do they need, right? And then we take that data and then we work with all those stakeholders, create resources that are engaging, feasible, relevant and sustainable, and then get them to talk about things. So they all know what consent is. Everybody knows what consent is. It's a yes or a no or a maybe, right? You know, they know that.
Yeah.
But then when they put that learning into real life situations, it all gets a bit confusing. So it's about giving them the language, raising their awareness about what consent is and how important it is. But then you've got to give them the language, because they're not going to ask straight out, you know, for things. Because in fact, how can you know you're going to like something if you've never done it before?
Mm.
You know, so then you can't be enthusiastic about it.
Do you think it's a better space to be in, learning about this stuff and talking about and communicating in a school setting rather than a home setting?
Well, I think it's both, but it's more embarrassing with your parents. But yeah. Your parents need to talk about this as well. But I mean, with school, you're with your peers. Right. So, you know, the idea of like a consent workshop is that you discuss things with your peers and you reflect and you come up with the answers yourself. Instead of some old wrinkly teacher saying, this is what you do, this is what you say,
yeah.
You discuss it and say, OK, so what would I do in that situation? And it's based our workshops are based on theoretical understandings of how people behave. So theory of reasoned action and planned behaviour. So if you think about something before it happens, right, so you think about, if I was in that situation, this is what I would say, or this is what I would ask, or maybe that's how I'd feel, you know. And if you think about it beforehand, when it actually comes up to you in that situation, you go, oh yeah, I know I was going to say that, or I was going to just take a pause or say, oh, can we stop if I don't like it, you know. And things are changing. Like, we work with Eita O'Brien, the intimacy coordinator.
Yes, so we've had Eita on this show.
She is fantastic. Yeah. So we work with her as well. And that's about changing what they see in terms of drama and films and everything to be more realistic and to give them the lessons they learn. Like in Normal People, how O'Connell and Marianne talked. You know, it was all, you know, we can stop, just tell me how, you know, and it's about that. And it's about...
That's why we were so blown away by it, I think, those scenes. And fair play to Eita. She probably had a heavy hand in that.
She did, yeah.
But it was so real. And we all fell in love with Paul Mescal because, you know, it was so real and there was conversations happening and it was awkward and it was fumbly and it was messy and it was
absolutely.
Like amazing.
That's it. So that's the reality of it, which you don't see in porn.
No, you don't. Which students will get this in September? Why are other students going to be waiting a little longer?
Well, it's the junior cycle students which will get the new curriculum. The new curriculum, it takes a while because it has to involve all stakeholders and it takes a lot of work to create something that will be acceptable and that will be feasible and engaging and that will work, right? And that teachers will be able to embrace and say, OK, I can look at that issue. Oh, OK, so I can use that resource to look at that issue and all that. So it's about giving teachers the confidence and the competence to actually deliver, right? Because what you want is a whole programme. You don't want it just a little bit. Oh, OK, I could just deliver that bit, but that would be too embarrassing for me. so then they don't get the whole programme. You need to be confident and competent to deliver programmes like this and not be embarrassed. Why are we embarrassed about sex?
Because we're Irish. Oh. And we're inherently embarrassed about talking about this kind of stuff. That's what we do.
But then we all get drunk.
Yeah.
You know.
I make a mess of it anyway.
Exactly. And drunken sex is not great.
It's never great. No. I love the fact that we're starting the communication early, because that is key to having a fulfilling and positive sexual experience,
yeah.
I would say. So starting these conversations, being open and honest, is just amazing. What age are we talking here with the kids?
Well, we're talking with the junior cycle. They're going to get the new curriculum first from September. Right?
Okay. The junior cycle, you talk about...
From first year...
Second.
Yeah.
Deadly.
From first up
first
to junior...
To third year.
Yeah. Right. And possibly TY.
Yeah.
Within that as well. And then the senior cycle, which can include TY, but is fifth and sixth year.
Okay.
They will get their new curriculum. That's been worked on now by the developmental group. And then that'll go out to public consultation. And then that will be available from next September. And then hopefully around that same time, the primary school curriculum will be available as well. Because in this country, our primary school children, I mean, they're not just prepubescent, they're pubescent. Like fifth year and sixth year already got phones.
Yeah.
And they're already, you know, they've already starting
asking
menstruating
questions.
All that kind of stuff, you know. So, you know, that is being updated as well.
Okay, amazing stuff. Siobhan, thank you so much for coming in today. There we go. Dr. Siobhan O'Higgins is a sexologist and educator from the School of Psychology at the University of Galway. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.